Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Friday, October 6th, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, we'll learn about the community, the Juno Community Foundation's 2017 Philanthropy Awards and more with guests Rick Shattuck and Mandy Malott. We'll get the details about Saturday's Tot Rave. Folks from the Juno Community Charter School will highlight their neighborhood pizza and music night fundraiser. And jewelry artist Deb Gregoire will talk about her first Friday pop-up shop at Kindred Post tonight. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here live and local on a Juno afternoon, currently 47 degrees here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Canadian government has announced an agreement with people who were taken from their homes as children in the 1960s, known as the 60s Scoop. Under the agreement, Canada will pay out more than $500 million in restitution to Indigenous children. Many say they lost their cultural identities after being placed with foster and adoptive families in Canada, the U.S., and Europe. Researchers say social determinants can impact people's health, including social structures and economic systems. What this looks like in Indian country includes limited healthcare services, overcrowded housing, lack of fitness centers, and outdoor recreational areas. But examples of resiliency in promoting health and wellness in Native America can be seen at the grassroots level, as we see in our USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism series. Lauren Anthony prepares chicken, cutting them up in his kitchen, making sure to get them as lean as possible before throwing them on the grill at his house in Gallup, New Mexico.
If you don't prepare for your week as far as eating clean, then majority of the time you're going to go pull off into some like fast food joint.
The Navajo actor, health advocate, and motivational speaker has been doing meal preparation for about 7 years. It started as a way to improve his health. He now offers them up to the public to purchase. High-calorie processed foods can be found at every corner in Gallup, Lauren says. Gallup is a town where people from the Navajo Reservation and Zuni Pueblo often go shopping.
I want our community to be healthy because there's so many people out there just struggling with their health issues. And I think the real health care plans are, you know, at home.
Food deserts are common on many reservations and surrounding areas. Those are places which lack access to fresh, healthy food. But health professionals say people can work with what's available.
It's not always about the best option, but what's the better option than what you have now and making the best of what you have.
Heidi Gabalski is a nutritionist at the Native Americans for Community Action's Wellness Center in Flagstaff, Arizona. She says some of her clients often have to pick foods from a convenience store or from federal commodity boxes.
Let's say there's the fruit cocktail. Rinse it as much as you can because it's in heavy syrup. You know, we've got flour and things like that. Do we have to fry it? Could we make dry bread instead of fry bread? Drinking water instead of soda, but soda's a big issue.
Back in New Mexico, on Lauren Anthony's menu is grilled chicken, rice, and green beans. This meal is under 400 calories compared to fast food options, which can add up to 800 or more.
We don't go and hunt and gather anymore like we used to. You know, we would go out and build a fire, and there's work put into that.
Healthy living has not always been the story for Lauren. He says he changed in 2009 after living a life he describes as drinking alcohol, being overweight, and depressed. Lauren says after reaching a low point, he decided to turn his physical and mental health around, which eventually led him to help people today with both their diets and physical health. On this day, he volunteered to team build with a girls' high school volleyball team.
He's a support that a lot of these kids need.
Lorena Morris is the girls' head varsity coach at Gallup High School.
There's a lot of challenges facing a lot of the youth, especially due to how widespread the area is. A lot of kids have transportation issues. A lot of kids have financial issues. A lot of them live in poverty. And what I really like about Lauren is he does not charge for his services.
Lauren says his passion for helping people stems from overcoming many challenges in his life.
I don't want people to give up. And I believe that when I speak to youth, when I speak to young adults, when I even speak to our elders, we can always pick it up and say, I want to be that leader.
Researchers and health professionals say consistency in eating and a strong support system are associated with long-term success, which Lauren and other grassroots leaders are striving for in Indian country. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios, by Quantic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista. And by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Friday, October 6, 2017. Scott Burton, your host today. And in the studio now are Rick Shattuck and Mandy Malott, and they're here to tell us about all things Juno Community Foundation. Welcome to the show, you two.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
Thank you for having us.
I think a lot of our listeners have heard the Juno Community Foundation name around our community, usually associated with pretty cool stuff. But for those that haven't, tell us what you do.
Well, our mission is basically to increase philanthropy in Juneau and try and make giving easy and fun and also very effective. And we've also kind of developed a bit of a role of a community convener in trying to, you know, coordinate a lot of these efforts that are going on in our nonprofit community.
Mandy, what are a few examples people can relate to right now that you're associated with?
Of course. Well, recently the community came together to recognize the Housing First facility, which is up and growing with the number of visitors or residents, actually, that are there. We also were engaged in the Seward statue down near the Diamond Courthouse Plaza. And right now, the Project Playground work, we're the organization that is receiving all the funds for those donations. So lots of different, quite a variety of projects that we're supportive of.
And I think I read, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere on your website, that you try and fill gaps that maybe not all the nonprofits can get to?
Right. We actually try to focus on gaps, but we don't want to take away funds that might be going to other nonprofits in town. So we really encourage folks to, when they come to us for projects, we offer a place for special projects that maybe don't have a house within a local nonprofit. And for our dinner, actually, we're still continuing to raise funds. We're raising funds for an endowment that we have for hospice and home care. So rather than take donations that people might otherwise make to hospice and home care for their annual donations or giving, we wanted to try to have people dig deeper and think about the endowment in terms of a longer-term giving. So there's lots of different ways that people can give and people can make an impact.
Okay. Speaking of people who give, I understand that you just had your annual philanthropy award dinner. Who were a few people that you honored?
Well, we were very pleased this year to honor Hugh and Sherry Grant as our philanthropists of the year for their long history of supporting many causes in Juneau and just their overall generosity. In fact, they shared a neat story at the dinner there, someone had shared the story about how a number of years ago, gas cards would just show up mysteriously around Christmas time for people, and it was known where those were coming from. But the grants have just been very generous, and then we also recognized two outstanding businesses this year: ALP Avista and Alaska Marine Lines. Both companies that give generously to the community, do year after year after year, it's a real part of their corporate DNA. It was neat hearing the sincerity of the speakers at the dinner talk about what they do in the communities.
Okay. Let's see. Looking forward, before we got on the air, you were talking about the board and outreach committee and things surrounding that. Want to fill us in on that?
Right. Rick and I both participate on the outreach committee, and we've got a lot of things that we do in terms of helping Juno understand, along with Amy Skilbred, the executive director, and Jamie Waste is our program officer, and Jenna Rutecki is also in the office supporting the foundation. But the outreach committee really has two main things. The biggest is our event around the Philanthropy Awards dinner, and just helping to tell the story, help invite others to help tell the Juno Community Foundation story. So in addition to having the awardees recognized and share their stories and share stories about them, we also invite grantees to come. This year at the dinner, we had one of our speakers was Julie York Copins, and she actually led the 135 guests or something through what she was calling a Sammy Hagar cover of Give to Live. And so she brought her ukulele and had a beautiful job of having the whole group sing through that. So, but in addition to that, she shared personal stories and reflections of her and her husband Ken Lakehorn's stories around philanthropy and giving and how that really does help to improve all of our lives, from the giver's life to the recipient's life.
Okay.
That's one example.
If there are listeners right now that do want to give and contribute to Juno Community Foundation's efforts, you were also talking about the Field of Interest Funds. Mm-hmm. Is that a way that people can participate?
Yeah, there are literally so many ways that different areas that you can give through the foundation. The Field of Interest Funds are a new initiative for us, where we kind of take these general areas of interest. The five areas we're working on now are park trails, recreation, youth, education, health and social services, and arts and culture. We're both trying to raise some funds to get some immediate projects out on the street, but also we want to build long-term endowments so we can, you know, annually distribute funds in these areas. And so we're raising funds in those areas, and also looking for people that are passionate about those areas to join what we call our groups of champions to help us guide these efforts. So if you have an interest there, you can reach out to the foundation at 523-5450, and you can learn more about us at junocf.org.
And can you give us an example of something that might fit that perfectly?
Well, you know, there's these funds are in different areas of development, but right now, for example, Parks, Trails, and Recreation is working on bringing together resources necessary to finally complete the Treadwell Ditch Trail, which will be a great community resource. They're also working on some plans around developing recreational cabins and other trails projects. And, for example, the Youth Fund is working with Juno Alaska Music Matters, a youth music education group, to expand their program, and talking to STEM stakeholders to see what we can do in that area as well. So lots of different things going on.
What's exciting in this area for me personally too is legacy giving is really important to the foundation, but we may not always know when an individual has designated the community foundation in their will, and they may not have a direct way to contribute or become involved in giving today rather than tomorrow, right? And so one of the things we've seen is that it's really rewarding for people to become very intimately involved in their giving. And what we're offering through these Field of Interest Fund areas is many different areas where folks may have passions around, and then they would work with a team of community members to really collaborate and be smart about the projects that we're doing and the where the money is going. So that to me is an exciting thing, that the folks can really can be involved in their giving now.
Do you happen, like, do you two, just thinking off the top of your head, maybe have any ideas what our community might need more of right now?
Well, you know, there's... We get so much useful input from all of our nonprofits. We have a very active nonprofit community, and really there are so many areas of need, it's hard to nail them down. I mean, there are, I think youth in this town always have a lot of things that can serve them better. It's, you know, we all grew up here, and it's can be tough being a kid in Juneau sometimes. You know, senior services is another area, health and social services. I mean, there's really no end to, I think, you know, once we find one project and tackle that, it's just on to the next one.
And again, so if somebody had an idea or wanted to work closely with you, would they want to contact one of you board members, the executive director? What would be the best avenue for that?
Yeah, you can reach out to any board members that you're familiar with, and they're all listed on our website. Of course, again, that website is www.junocf.org. You can also call any of our staff at the office at 523-5450, happy to talk to you about all the different things we can do.
Okay. Any events coming up that we should know about? Fundraisers, socials?
Well, we did the awards dinner in the fall, and we're continuing to tell that story, because we do have, we made an a goal of raising $100,000 for our hospice and home care endowment, so that that endowment would be up to a total of $200,000, and then annually paying $5,000 off for the hospice operating funds. That would be about $10,000 a year that we could give off of that endowment as it continues to grow. So that's one thing we're as we wrap that up, we are the outreach committee is looking ahead to doing an event for the whole community in the spring, late winter, early spring, and that would be geared around these field of interest funds, because that for us is really a very compelling, interesting story and a way to get folks involved.
Okay. Rick Shattuck, Mandy Mowat, thank you both for coming on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, just again, that if you're interested in giving to the foundation or finding out more about what we're doing or getting involved with us, please reach out to us. Also, you can help us spread the work by liking our Facebook page. And yeah, just lots of exciting things going on. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Rick Shattuck and Mandy Mowat from the Juneau Community Foundation, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. You
October is New Member Month. As part of this celebration, every Friday we have a special gift new members can pick up from several participating businesses. This week, Hearthside Books has generously offered your choice of an author-signed book or yet-to-be-published book to anyone who signed up for the first time since October 1st. Just show your email donation receipt at either location on Friday or Saturday to get your gift. Thanks to Hearthside Books for their support of public radio, and a big thank you to you for becoming a new member. Join at ktoo.org.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Friday, October 6th. It's about 20 minutes past the top of the hour. Scott Burton, your host today. Shelley Delaney is engineering. In the studio now is Bobbi Jo Skibo. She is on the board of the Gold Creek Child Development Center, which is in the federal building over there in the flats. Bobbi Jo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's nice to have you here. So the Gold Creek Child Development Center, I'm not sure everybody knows that it's there in the base. No, I wouldn't say the basement, kind of the ground floor of the federal building, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We service a lot of our youth from Juneau. As many people know, we do have a child care crisis here in town. And so it's a really great facility for federal and non-federal families there in that building.
So yeah, non-federal, any kid can go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And how many kids would you guesstimate attend?
You know, each classroom has something like 20 kids. There's a lot of specific rules and regulations on different age and the different capacities per room. But we definitely are at capacity most of the time. And so if people ever do want to get in on that facility, they do need to call and get on the wait list. And it's pretty surprising. Sometimes there's turnover and people can get in on it. Some of the federal families, such as Coast Guard, they come and go, get deployed. So sometimes there are openings that just surprisingly just open. So I would suggest anybody who is looking to give the center a call or come to our event tomorrow and learn more.
Got it. And so babies all the way up through pre-K, about what hours of operation?
They open up really early because, of course, a lot of our parents work really early and then stay after work hours as well.
Okay. Now, to support the Gold Creek Child Development Center, you are having a tot rave.
Yes.
Tell us about a tot rave.
Well, we like to party, right? So our kids, we like music, and we want to encourage our youth to get out and shake a leg. And so we have an event tomorrow where we have DJ Manu coming in. And this is kind of like, picture it, right? In the Jack, there's good lighting, there's glow sticks, there's snacks, there's tons of fun kids with really good music playing. And it's kind of like the eighth grade dinner dance, but better, because it's your kids from, you know, 0 to about 6 years old it's geared towards. And so they could just run wild and dance and feel the music tomorrow. So it'll be really fun.
So this is from 4 to 7 tomorrow, Saturday, at the Jack here across the street in the Arts District. You've been to one of these before, right, Bobbi Jo?
Actually, I personally haven't, because each year I've been on the board. This is my second year. And so each year I haven't been there. And so I'm really excited because my son Fisher, who attended Gold Creek, is kind of a really good break dancer. And so I've always wanted to go to this. And Janice Hurley, most people in Juneau seem to know Janice. She's an amazing woman here who has been inspiring our youth to dance at many different forums and venues around Juneau. She'll be there also to get the kids moving, to lead a few of the dances tomorrow. And so that was one of Fisher's dance teachers. And so tomorrow's going to be exciting for us because we finally get to attend.
Sounds like fun. What age group would you say is going to have the most fun here?
You know, we know siblings are going to end up coming, which is totally fine. But it's really that age group of 4 to 6, the ones that really want to get out there and move. Of course, you know, those little babies will shake it in their diapers. But it's really geared towards, you know, that sort of kindergarten, pre-K age group.
Okay, so 4 to 6 year olds going crazy on the dance floor. DJ Manu, what else can people expect?
So we have some of our great local businesses participating, which we really can't thank them enough. So Pucker Wilson's and Glacial Grinds and Happy Camper will be open during those hours tomorrow, special for this event. And so it's always nice to come out to support Gold Creek, but also some of our businesses that are just finishing up a busy season but are opening up their doors for us. So supporting our local local economy and our youth is something that we'd really like you to come out and support.
Yeah, so full dinner and dessert will be available there on the grounds, right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And we'll have other things in the facility, water and different snacks that people can purchase as well.
Okay. 10 or 4 to 7 tomorrow at the Jack Tot Rave, supporting the Gold Creek Child Development Center. Bobby Jo Skibo, thanks for coming on the show. Is there anything we're missing or anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to say thanks for coming out and supporting Gold Creek and inspiring our youth for all sorts of different types of things like dance and culture. And we are also sending one of our assistant directors out of town for a training and to teach conscious discipline, which is an approach that we have adopted there at the center. And so that's teaching children self-discipline versus us really having to increase our own discipline on them. So social and emotional development is really important to us at Gold Creek. And so just really excited. And so the proceeds tomorrow will also support our assistant director going to personal development training as well as our operating costs. So thanks for coming and helping us out.
You should have him or her come back on the show. That sounds really interesting, and tell us about it.
And we always are looking for volunteers, and there's always staff positions open. So if it's something that you're looking forward to maybe pursue as a career, come try it out and talk to our director to see if maybe you want to take on a part-time position to feel it out before you maybe go off to college or something like that. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, and what's the easiest way to do that? Just do walk-in, or can we find you on Facebook?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. You can walk in. You do have to go through security, but just make sure you have an ID. Come into the federal building and say hi. Set up a call, you know, something like that. But we have an open-door policy to meet people that are interested in aligning with what we're trying to do there at Gold Creek.
All right, that's the voice of Bobby Jo Skibo. She's a board member of the Gold Creek Child Development Center. They will be participating in a tot rave tomorrow, Saturday, from 4 to 7 at the Jack. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Take care.
Show yourself.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Friday. It's right at the bottom of the hour, and in the studio now is artist Deb Gregoire. She has a pop-up shop tonight at Kindred Post from 5:30 to 8:30. Does that sound right, Deb?
4:30 to 7:30.
I just subtract an hour from all of that at Kindred Post downtown. Welcome to the show, Deb.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so how would you describe yourself as an artist?
Well, I actually mostly refer to myself as a craftsperson and as a maker. I get a little nervous around the term art and artist. I'm not a formally trained metal worker. I took some community classes at the Canvas with Rowan Law. That's how I started doing metal work. And then other than that, I've been pretty much self-taught. So I'm a maker.
Okay. Mostly jewelry?
Yes, pretty much all jewelry. I am going to verge into a little bit of some housewares items for the holidays, coasters and things like that, and maybe some keychains, but mostly jewelry.
If you had to describe for our listeners sort of the quintessential piece of your work, how would you do that? What would it be?
Well, I would say that my style is very modern, inspired by nature, but also architectural. I think that using mixed metals, usually silver and gold, is a bit of a signature in a lot of my jewelry, and that seems to be something that's really popular with people.
Yeah, and what sort of forms might you emulate?
Right. I do get a lot of my inspiration from the outdoors, as many of us do here in Juneau, and mountains do play a particular role in some of my designs. So I have a particular pair of earrings that I call Observation, named after the mountain here in Juneau, and I just don't seem to be able to make enough of them for people.
Do you mind here after the show if we share a few of them on K2 Facebook?
Absolutely, that'd be
great.
All
right, listeners, check it out. We'll give you a visual of those. You were telling me you even use recycled metals sometimes.
Yeah, mostly all the sterling silver that I use is all recycled sterling silver, and then I actually turn that back around, and there's my supplier that I get my metals from. I'm able to capture all of my bits and pieces that I don't use and send them back to them, and they'll melt that down and turn around and reuse that as well.
Okay. So before the show, I was asking you, do you get to do this full time? And you do have another job and do this part time. Why do this? What inspires you to make these?
Oh, that's such a good question. I just really love the process. I really love working with tools. I've always been creative and creatively inclined, but never really found the right medium. And there's something about metal, just I like that it's a hard material and that it's very tactile and immediate. There's not a lot of guessing, you know, like with ceramics, like what's it going to come out like after it gets out of the kiln. But I really love working with tools. In fact, that's the name of my business is Marteau Designs, and Marteau is French for hammer. And you'll see in my logo, it's a little hammer.
Okay. If somebody wants to find you, mm-hmm. what's the best way to do that? And you're telling me that you will do sort of custom work as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I don't do custom work in terms of somebody coming to me with their design idea, but I will do custom pieces of my own designs, which I can change around a little bit depending on the client's wishes. And in particular, I do a lot of wedding band sets, a little bit alternative, not your traditional diamond or anything like that. So that's been really fun. But people can find me, the best way to find me is on my website, which is www.marteaudesigns.com. That's M-A-R-T-E-A-U designs.com.
Okay. Otherwise, they can meet you tonight, right?
Yep, I'll be down there at Kindred Post. The pop-up shop is just what it says. It's a pop-up shop. It's just for tonight. It's not necessarily going to mean that any of my items are going to be there past tonight. So come down and see what there is.
So that starts in about right there at 4:30, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay. Deb Gregoire, she's going to be operating a pop-up shop at Kindred Post this evening from 4:30 to 7:30 at Kindred Post. If somebody hasn't been to Kindred Post, how would you describe how to get there?
Oh, it's at the corner of Franklin and Front Street across from the clock. And in my opinion, is the best store in town.
Deb, thanks so much for coming on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Nope, I think that's it. Thanks so much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, anytime.
This is Bird Note. A familiar sound of spring. A woodpecker hard at work, carving out a nest hole in a tree trunk. Here, the female will lay her eggs, and the pair will raise their young. When you're lucky, you can hear young woodpeckers, like these pileated woodpeckers, begging from within the trunk. But now that fall has arrived, we may hear an excavating sound again. What's going on? It turns out that some woodpecker species stay year-round in the region where they nest, while others migrate south in winter. Those that remain through the colder months, well, it's safe to say they're not nesting now. No, these fall excavators are chiseling out roosting cavities, snug hollows where they'll shelter during the cold nights of fall and winter. Many woodpeckers roost in such cavities, usually by themselves. Even the young, once they're fledged, have to find their own winter quarters. With woodpeckers, once the nights turn cold, it's every bird for itself. Writers for Bird Note include Bob Sundstrom, Ellen Blackstone, Todd Peterson, Dennis Paulson, and Chris Peterson. Our producer is John Kessler. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support for Bird Note comes from Bloomsbury, a publisher of natural history books and birding guides. Critical Critters by Ralph Steadman and Kerry Levy is available now.
Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council with KXLL presents A Tribe Called Red, Thursday, October 19th at 7:30 at Centennial Hall. This Canadian electronic music group combines modern hip-hop with traditional powwow drums and vocals with local opener Woosh Chi'in Dance Group. Tickets at jahc.org.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Friday, October 6th. Scott Burton, your host. In the studio now are people from the Juno Community Charter School, Tony Newman, Mary, and McKenna. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Oh,
thanks, Scott.
Hi.
All right. Tony, let's start with you. What is the Juno Community Charter School? Where are you guys located, and what are you all about?
The Juno Community Charter School is a public school in the Juno School District. It's based on a charter that we parents and teachers, staff develop in collaboration with the school district. It's a school that's public, open to anyone that emphasizes parent involvement, arts, a constructivist philosophy that is really designed to help develop the kids as whole people. And I've been participating with my family in the charter school for 15 years now, I think. My two older children have graduated, and my youngest is now an eighth grader. So it's a terrific community and a terrific resource for Juno's kids. It's located on downtown at the corner of 4th and Gold Street.
Okay. And you all are having a fundraiser tonight. We'll get to that in just a minute. But sticking with the school, Mary, you're there right now. You're an eighth grader. Yeah. Tell us about the scene inside.
Middle school is actually really fun. I think there's a stereotype about middle school that it can be like the worst years of your life. But I've had a really good time. And it's really cool being an eighth grader. And, yeah, it's just really fun.
All right. McKenna, can you sort of describe what an average day at school looks like for you? What are a few classes that you go to, some activities you do?
Well, we have a lot of fun opportunities at the charter school. We get to do our normal classes like math and language arts and social studies and science. But we also do this thing called exploratories, and we get to do cool opportunities like play marimbas or do a rock band.
We do like woodworking and sewing, too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. Tony, it sounds like you've had three children.
Right.
Go through the school. Obviously, you like it very much. What are a few things that you like to exemplify about the school?
Well, the school invites parents to help out with in various ways. I have helped out throughout my time there with recess. I go over. I take a lunch hour every week and go over and have lunch with the kids, and then join them on the playground. And it's been a great way for me to get to know my daughter, my kids, and her friends, and the other students. And we know, of course, that having adults involved in kids' lives is a protective factor for kids. So being able to grow up with these kids has really helped me feel like I've gotten to know them better and been able to be a presence in their lives that helps them grow up stronger and healthier.
How is that, Mary, having your dad around?
Well, I don't know. It can be embarrassing because he can be weird, but it's nice. I'm glad that we have the parent involvement because it's nice because they come and I think they really get to see that what we do specifically. And as a parent, I would want to be able to see that and see what my kid was doing so that, like, their school life and their home life aren't completely different and it's more gray area than just black and white.
Mm. McKenna, do you have friends in either of the public middle schools here in town?
I have one.
Thinking of that friend, have you ever talked about, do you notice differences in between the two styles of that person's school and your school?
I don't know. It's just that a lot of her school, it's just a lot more serious, and this school's kind of chill.
Yeah, we're pretty flexible.
Mary, what's your favorite activity or your favorite class?
I love writing, so I really like language arts, and we have a really great language arts teacher. And I didn't like science before, but I guess the class is just really cool. And I really love doing marimbas and working as a team to play a song. It's cool.
How about you, McKenna?
I also really like marimbas. And I'm not the best at math, but I really like learning about new ways to do math, and it's fun.
Mary, what kind of stuff are you writing right now?
So we're doing a small essay about the best part of ourselves and why that's the best part of ourselves. And like you could choose a body part and talk about why you like that part of yourself and how that represents you. And then we're going to do an abstract art piece from like Picasso's later work. And that's really cool because we have the art integrated with the writing. And I really like that.
And Kenna, what kind of math are you working on right now?
We are working on algebra.
Oh, boy.
And it's really fun.
Specifically like graphs.
Oh, yes.
I don't know a lot of graphs.
I don't hear algebra and fun, those two words.
Oh,
I don't hear those together.
It's very fun.
Because our math teacher makes it really fun.
She's so good.
She's awesome. She's a great teacher.
Yeah. And our class is really
hope she's
cool.
Listening right now.
Yeah. Hi, Brenda. Brenda's
cool. So if I may, Scott, you know, one of the things that's nice about the charter school is it's small. And we have small math groups, for instance. I think these girls are in effect math classes with just a half a dozen kids or so that
yeah.
The teacher's really able to focus their time on them
and 10 kids.
And develop their school. So McKenna says the school is chill and Mary says the school is fun, but I'm very proud of the performance that these kids show every year in the standardized testing. The charter school students perform really well as a whole. And I've been able to see that they come to high school very well prepared for their high school education, thanks to the background and the things they've learned at the charter school.
And they're great on the radio.
Yeah, see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Thank
Unintended
you.
Benefits.
So give us the details maybe, Tony, about tonight or anybody?
Well, I'll start. So the eighth graders get to go on a field trip every year, and they have to fundraise their way to go there. And the girls can talk more because it's very much a student-driven decision on where they'll go and what they'll do. But to raise money tonight, the girls and I and their classmates and other parents we're going to be meeting at the charter school's parking lot right there in the heart of downtown. And Nakenna's family is very kindly coming with their pizza truck, Forno Rosso, the wood-fired pizza truck that's been located downtown near the library for the summer, is going to be set up for a last blast here before the winter sets in and serving up their pizza to benefit the field trip. So it's a neighborhood party open to everyone. We're going to have music. Michael Busey and John Unziger and their friends are going to be coming a little bit later at 7 or 7:30 or so to play some jazz for us. But we've also got some talented amateur musicians coming, and it's going to be sort of just a neighborhood parking lot pizza party, and it's open to anyone.
Okay, and describe for us how you would get there if you're coming from, let's say, Egan.
You would just turn up Main Street and make a right in front of the Capitol, and you'll find it. You'll go just past the Mendenhall apartment building, and then you can turn left, and you'll see the school parking lot up there. It's the Harris Street building, sometimes called the Harris Street building, the big building at the base of the hill there between Gold and Harris Streets on 4th Street.
Kind of catty corner from the Russian Orthodox Church? Kind of,
but it's really directly across the street from Holy Trinity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, church and McFeeters Hall.
And what time does that get going?
We're going to get started at 5:30 and go till 8:30. Again, selling pizza out of the pizza truck. People can come and grab it there and leave, or they can we're going to have the school open so you can sit and listen to the live music if you'd like.
I wish we had more time to talk about the field trip that this is making, raising funds for. But real quickly, Mary, could you tell us about it?
Trip?
Yeah.
Yeah. So every year for pretty much since the school started, I think, we've been doing a trip where we go at the end of the year, we go to Fairbanks and Denali and around Alaska to have a cool learning experience. And that's what we're fundraising for. So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks again, all of you, for coming on the show, and good luck tonight. Pizza and music in the heart of downtown. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon, about 7 minutes until the top of the hour. In the studio now is Cheryl Snyder. She's a general manager for arts, culture, and music. And we're here to talk about New Member Month. Welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, we got a lot going on this month. October is New Member Month. This is the first time we've tried an initiative like this to really focus efforts in a soft way on pulling in new recruits to the K2 membership. It's going to be going on through the end of October. And really, aside from us showing up in a Juno Afternoon a couple days a week just to tell you what's going on, really, mostly the campaign is just existing in short messages that you'll hear periodically through the day. So it's really low-key, but we're hoping those of you who have never signed on to the station before with your membership support that you do so this month. We've got lots of cool stuff going on.
I'll bet, you know, 98% of our listeners right now are members, for sure, right?
I think it's more the reverse, like maybe 20% are listeners.
Okay, or members. For those people that aren't members out there, why is it so important for them to support K2?
Well, I think membership, growing our membership base, has always been an important part of the way that public media is funded. I mean, we've been doing membership campaigns here for like 40 years at this point. But it's particularly important now because KTOO, like many other really, really worthy organizations in the state, we've had to share in the state belt tightening. Our organization alone, radio and TV, we lost over $100,000 over the last few years. And so we're working really hard behind the scenes to make sure that what you're getting is as good or better than ever. But we do have a gap to make up. And we know that there are many people who have never given to the station before who could really make a big difference as we're going forward. So That's who we're talking to. Those of you who've been listening for a long time, or perhaps you've just moved to town, or you've lived here forever, but you just discovered how amazing public media is in this town, we're encouraging you to make your contribution. And you can do it on our website at kto.org or just pop into the station. Yeah.
And some cool incentives, too.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff for the new members. Every new member that makes a contribution this month, regardless of giving level, you're going to get a new member mug that has this beautiful design done by Marms and Meeks. They're a local design shop in town. It's gorgeous. And that will come with a gift card for a 16-ounce latte drink from Heritage Coffee Company. So no matter if you join for $15, you're going to get that if you know, in any level higher. So that's really cool. And that's in addition to the regular membership gifts that we have. And we've got a bunch of cool ones that we're unveiling this fall again, all with the Marms and Meeks designs. Really awesome. And then we also have another new incentive on the weekends. We've got different businesses each week who will offer extra goodies to new members. So this week it's Hearthside Books. They have a collection of books that have been signed by authors. Just present your receipt of gift. Go down into Hearthside Books today or tomorrow and you can go pick out a title of your choosing.
And beyond all those gifts, all things considered, Juno Afternoon.
That's
wait,
it.
Wait, don't
I mean,
tell me.
Yes, and that's it, really. And KTOO.org, all of the local content, everything that you get online. When you make your contribution, you are sharing the costs with the community of people who are already doing so and making this great service available.
Okay. New Member Month is the month of October?
Yep, but you don't have to wait till the end of the month. You can make your contribution now at KTOO.org.
Cheryl Snyder, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Scott, thank you. Thanks for hosting the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today. I'll be back with you on Monday. Deb Gregoire will be back, and she'll be talking about Planned Parenthood. City Manager Rory Watt will be here to highlight the city's Commission on Aging. Alita Buss will be here to preview Tuesday Mudrooms. And we'll get the details on this month's Audubon presentation with guest Brenda Wright. It's currently, let's see, the temperature 47 degrees with light rain, fog, mist here in the capital city. Tonight's forecast calls for showers mainly before 1 a.m. Tomorrow, Saturday, patchy fog before 10 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 49. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon.